This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Podcast of audio reading service volunteers reading the Journal Gazette is provided by the Allen County Public Library for the sight and print impaired and made available with the permission and cooperation of the Journal Gazette.
We'll now read the living section from the November 19th Journal Gazette. And here's Shelley with the horoscopes.
Holiday Matthias from Creator Syndicate. Aries, even if you're capable of doing something on your own, accepting help is still valuable. The help isn't really the point. What matters is what you learn through the exchange. Taurus, sometimes the fastest way forward is to pause, check your bearings, and confirm your orientation, because you don't want to go fast in the wrong direction. A brief moment of awareness now will save hours later. Gemini, people ask of you what they will, but you can't oblige every ask. People who respect you will stay in dialogue even when they don't hear yes. People who only want the yes will fade away when they hear no. Cancer. Love can witness without fixing. Kindness can be warm and steady without falling into the gravity of another person's need. Take care of yourself first. It's not selfish, it's the correct order. Leo, you may have wonky tools or a clumsy setup today when that's actually perfect. When things are tricky, it wakes you up to your inventiveness, forcing you to move differently, think sharper, and invent. Virgo, kindness isn't a contract. Your generosity doesn't obligate you to the comfort of others. Protect your energy. Give because it delights you, not because it's expected. And if you're just not sure, hold off until you're stronger feeling about what you do. Libra, you sense the ache of the world even on bright days. It's not betrayal to feel good. When joy visits, take it in. And someone must remember what hope feels like. Why shouldn't that someone be you? Scorpio, it's not much to ask life to impress you, especially if you ask it to yourself or send it to the heavens or write it in a journal. After all, you regularly give more than what's expected of you. And others might too, if they sense the challenge. Sagittarius, you're awakening to how uneven emotional labor can be. Don't confuse serving with loving. True partnership is a mutual tending. Step back from one-way giving. Step toward those who offer warmth back. Capricorn, you've been accused of stubbornness, but there's an upside to it. And in your case, it's an up and up and upside. Tenacity got you here, and tenacity will get you to the next place too. Keep it pushing. Aquarius, to want more from someone is to overlook who they already are. Love's rare grace is to stop improving, fixing, or expecting, and simply witness. Let them be, and they'll rise naturally to the truest version of themselves. Pisces, when you chase a floating ball in water, your own motion pushes it away. The same goes for goals and people. Consider approaching indifferently, from the side or under the surface. Don't make waves. Let it drift closer to you. And today's birthday, welcome to your year of wonder work. You'll create something that makes you proud to wake up early. The mix of joy and diligence turns ordinary efforts into legacy-making magic. More highlights. Romance finds you in motion, on a journey, in a workshop, mid-song. You'll refine your tastes, elevate your surroundings, and collect experiences that feel cinematic. Cancer and Leo adore you. Your lucky numbers are 10, 39, 26, 14, and 13.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the Dear Heloise advice column. Today's column's titled, Reader, Antique Wood is Better. Dear Heloise, one serious point about trying to replicate the wide plank floors of early American homes, the wood that you can obtain at a semi-reasonable cost is not the same as the antique stuff. It's of a different quality. It is wetter, as it is not well seasoned, and often an entirely different species. Wide boards will be more apt to shrink or warp. I grew up in some older homes with lovely oak wooden floors that were polished to a, quote, a treat. As my grandmother would have said, I have several family members and friends who are very happy with the newer, not as expensive composition flooring that's available now. It does look very authentic, but does require more careful use. You cannot sand out scratches or marks. Most have tile in the high traffic gritty areas such as entryways, and that's from Pan L in Arizona. Pan, I have been in some very old early American homes on the East Coast, and there's a beautiful charm to them. The early settlers cut down trees that had been growing for centuries. Today, most of these old trees are gone, except for ones that are protected by state laws and by people who value the beauty of these old, deeply rooted trees. And that's from Heloise. Dear Heloise, in reply to the inquiry of why women tuck part of their shirts into the front of their pants, my reason for doing so is to prevent my belt or the closure on my jeans from creating a hole in my t-shirts or other tops. My waist appears to be the same level as my top, and if I don't tuck shirts in the front of my pants, an automatic hole appears almost immediately. And that's from Cindy in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Cindy, this is merely a brief fashion trend that will one day be gone, just like bouffant hairdos, bell-bottom jeans, and sit-ins. One day we will all look back and wonder, what was I thinking when we wore something? I cringe every time I see myself in photographs wearing wide shoulder pads in the 80s that made me look like a linebacker. Dear Heloise, I buy very good percale sheets for our beds, but no matter what, the edges of the top sheets always curl in and leave a permanent crease that cannot be ironed away. I like my top sheet, especially the top where it folds over the blanket to be smooth. I do iron it to no avail. Is there anything else I can do? Thank you. This is from Doris in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Doris, the manufacturer recommends this. Take a dry bed sheet and place it in the dryer with a wet cloth for about 15 to 20 minutes. While the sheet is damp, use an iron on low heat setting and iron the area that has been creased, or that had the crease. If any of my readers have a suggestion that would work, that's worked for them, we'd love to hear from you at heloise@heloise.com. And Heloise is a King Feature advice columnist whose work appears Mondays through Saturdays. Send a hint to heloise@heloise.com.
And now the Dear Annie column. Vegetarian can keep her values. Dear Annie, this Thanksgiving, I will be meeting my new boyfriend's family for the first time, and am already a bundle of nerves. His mom is hosting a big traditional dinner at their home, the kind with a perfectly roasted turkey, gravy from scratch, and about 10 different side dishes. She is known for her cooking, and apparently Thanksgiving is her Super Bowl. There is just one problem. I am a vegetarian. I have not eaten meat in nearly a decade. Not for attention, but because it genuinely makes me feel better physically and aligns with my values. My boyfriend mentioned it to his mom, and she was polite, but I could tell from her tone that she did not quite know what to make of it. She said something like, "Oh, she does not eat turkey? Well, we'll have to figure out something." Now I am panicking. I do not want to show up and seem ungrateful, picky, or worse, judgmental. I want his mom to like me, and I know how personal cooking can be. I have even thought about just taking a small piece of turkey to be polite, but the idea of doing so feels wrong and dishonest. On the other hand, I do not want to make the whole meal about me or cause awkwardness around the table. Should I offer to bring a vegetarian dish to share? How can I stay true to myself while still being a gracious guest? From Nervous Vegetarian. Dear Nervous, you can impress your boyfriend's mom without eating the turkey. What matters most is not what's on your plate, but your attitude at the table. Yes, you should offer to bring a vegetarian dish to share. Something hearty and festive so that you're adding to the meal, not subtracting from it. Bring a beautiful side or casserole that says, I am thoughtful, not I am difficult. This way, you ensure you have something to eat and you impress your boyfriend's mom with your contribution. At dinner, be gracious. Compliment her cooking and focusing on enjoying the company. Don't take a piece of turkey for the sake of being polite. Most hosts care far more about appreciation than appetite. I can tell you are a kind person already because you care not about doing anything to take away from the dinner that your boyfriend's mom so graciously arranged. Stay true to your values, smile often, and help with the dishes when dinner's over. That will win over any mom faster than a bite of turkey ever could. Annie Lane is Creator Syndicate advice columnist who appears Monday through Saturday.
Okay. This is the two-year good health column from Dr. Keith Roach. Modestly elevated lipoprotein level may not need treatment. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm a healthy 50-year-old woman. I asked my doctor to test me for lipoprotein A after reading about it. My level was high at 41 milligrams per deciliter. My doctor told me that it didn't need to be treated since I don't have any other risk factors for heart disease. When and how should a high lipoprotein A level be treated? From KP. Answer, LPA, called lipoprotein little a, is an independent risk factor for heart disease compared to total or LDL cholesterol. It's important to look for LPA when a person has a personal or strong family history of heart disease without many other risk factors. A level of 41 milligrams per deciliter is increased, but does not put you at a very high risk for heart disease in absence of other factors. The risk increases as LPA levels increase. Levels above 180 milligrams per deciliter place a person at a higher risk for heart attacks and strokes. LPA does not have specific treatments. So far, the treatment that specifically lowers LPA have not reduced the risk of heart disease. Statin drugs do not reduce LPA. In fact, they can slightly increase LPA levels, but they do reduce heart attack risk in people who are at a high risk for heart disease due to LPA and other risk factors. PCSK9 inhibitors like evolocumab or Repatha reduce the risk of heart disease in people with high LPA by about 25%. A new medicine, inclisiran or Leqvio, is a small RNA molecule that reduces LPA and LDL levels, but is not yet clear that it reduces heart attacks and strokes. At least one early trial has yielded positive results. I look at LPA as an additional risk factor when deciding whether a person needs therapy. If a person is at borderline risk based on traditional risk factors, including LDL cholesterol, blood pressure, smoking history, or diabetes, then a moderate to high LPA level will get me to recommend therapy. A very high LPA level, especially in a person with strong family history of heart disease, might get me to recommend treatment even if a person is otherwise at average risk. In your case, I agree with your doctor that a modestly elevated LPA level in a person with no other risk factors does not require treatment. And Dr. Keith Roach is a King Feature Advice columnist whose work appears Monday through Thursday and on Saturday. Write to Dr. Keith Roach at 628 Virginia Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32803, or email toyourgoodhealth@med.cornell.edu.
Plenty of various spots to be open for Thanksgiving. from Kimberly Dupps Truesdell from the Journal Gazette. For those looking to trade kitchen duty for table service this Thanksgiving, several Fort Wayne area restaurants are opening their doors November 27th. Eddie Merlot's at 1502 Illinois Road South will serve a three-course turkey dinner from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. This meal includes a choice of starter, hand-carved roasted turkey with traditional sage stuffing and cranberry relish, two sides, and a dessert. The restaurant's regular dinner menu will also be available. A Thanksgiving dinner is $50 for adults and $25 for children. Call 260-459-2222. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse at 224 West Wayne Street will open at 11 a.m., serving sliced oven-roasted turkey with sausage and herb stuffing, homemade gravy, and cranberry relish. The meal includes a choice of starter, side, and pumpkin cheesecake with vanilla ice cream for dessert. Prices start at $48 for adults and $20 for children. The restaurant's regular menu will also be available. Call 260-444-5898. Unique Barbecue Shabu at 6045 Stellhorn Road will be open for all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue, hot pot, and sushi rolls. Hours are noon to 10 p.m. More information is available at Unique BBQ Shabu Fort Wayne or FW.com or 260-387-6785. Fo Shi at 6735 West Jefferson Boulevard will be open. Call 260-387-7526. Mr. Sandwich at 3213 St. Joe Center Road will be open from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Call 260-999-6131. And the Little Turtle Pancake House in Cherubusco will be open from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Call 260-286-1043. Diners should call ahead to confirm hours and make reservations when available. The Pint and Slice to close. After 18 years downtown, 816 Pint and Slice will close at the end of the year. The Calhoun Street's pizza shop operators announced the news Monday in a Facebook post that drew hundreds of comments. Food costs have roughly doubled in recent years, and the math just isn't workable anymore for a small, family-run, handmade kitchen like ours, the post says. So we've made the tough but proud choice to close up our shop on our own terms, with our standards high and our chins up. The last day open will be December 31st, according to the post. Things at Connor's. Connor's Rooftop at 223 West Jefferson Boulevard will transform into the Upside Down for Stranger Things theme party on Thanksgiving Eve. The event, scheduled for 8 p.m. to midnight, November 26, will feature 1980s hits, dark synth, and throwback anthems with Stranger Things-inspired cocktails. Guests are encouraged to wear Stranger Things or 80s-themed attire, though costumes are not required. More information is available on Connor's Rooftop Facebook page. Bubba's 33 opens. Bubba's 33 opened its first Fort Wayne location Monday at 317 East Coliseum Boulevard. The restaurant menu features pizzas, burgers, wings, salads, sandwiches, and cocktails. There are also entrees such as lasagna, seared salmon, and steak. The space includes wall-to-wall televisions and music videos. Hours are 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and 11 a.m. to midnight Friday and Saturday. The sports bar chain was created in 2014 by Texas Roadhouse as a pizza and burgers focused complement to its steakhouse concept. With system-wide sales growing 20.4% last year to almost $298 million, Bubba's is the fastest-growing sports bar chain in the country by sales, according to Technomonic Top 500 Chain Restaurant Data. More information is available at bubbas33.com. Lee's Friendship. Friendsgiving. Lee's Famous Recipe Chicken is making a holiday meal planning easier with Famous Friendsgiving, a month-long campaign featuring curated menu selections and recipes. Throughout November, guests can go to leesfamousfriendsgiving.com to find recommendations for gathering, including 12-piece chicken orders, large sides, desserts, and biscuits. The site also features recipes including Lee's sides, like green beans and mashed potatoes. Lee's Rewards members can earn triple points in all purchases every Friday through Sunday in November. Lee's has partnered with Gift-A-Meal, a program that turns customer photos into meals for families in need. Guests can participate by scanning a QR code at any Lee's location or using the brand's app to upload a photo of their dining experience, which triggers a restaurant-funded donation to be made at the local food bank. More information is available at leesfamousfriendsgiving.com. Around town, the Fairfield at 1510 Fairfield Avenue is hosting a Four Roses bourbon tasting tonight on its urban golf floor. The event features guide testing of select Four Roses expressions paired with light snacks. The event is limited to ages 21 and older. Tickets are limited and available.
Okay, we'll now read from the prospective section for November 19th, 2025. The opinions expressed are those of the writers and not necessarily the opinions of the Audio Reading Service, the Allen County Public Library, Northeast Indiana Public Radio, PBS Fort Wayne, or your readers, Mitch or
Shelley.
And now here's Shelley with the first item.
Political trafficking. Attorney General deserves scrutiny about need to investigate Catholic Charities in Imani. Indiana Attorneys General Todd Rokita's quick visit to Fort Wayne last week was billed as a simple information gathering trip to Catholic Charities of Fort Wayne South Bend Diocese and Imani Family Services. Simple. That is, in the way only a press conference with cameras, microphones, and loaded insinuations can be, suggested that two trusted organizations might somehow be caught up in human trafficking. Weaponizing insinuation is an eons-old tactic. From Cicero to Nixon, the playbook is simple. Cast a specter and watch it creep. Rokita signaled out two respective nonprofits and treated them like stage props in a tough-on immigration performance meant to generate good ink. And before anyone says it, there is no smoke here, much less a fire. Catholic Charities and Imani are organizations that have spent decades assisting refugees, victims of violence, and families in crisis. The fact that Rokita stood in front of cameras to announce investigative demands into groups known for trauma recovery, case management, and victim support makes clear this was never about cooperation. Imani and Catholic Charities did not create Indiana's labor trafficking problem. They are the ones picking up the pieces. They are where survivors turn when they have been exploited or abused. To suggest they hold some undiscovered key to a trafficking crackdown is political misdirection, and it diminishes the seriousness of the work they actually do. The message is, we are not accusing you, but hand over everything anyway so we can prove we are right not to accuse you in the first place. In Rokitaverse, a place where its own absurd logic, being called a welcoming city, somehow becomes evidence of a clandestine plot. It was kind of a staging that invites its own backlash. What seemed to set people off was pairing these demands with his suggestion that Fort Wayne might be skirting Indiana's sanctuary city ban. Never mind that Fort Wayne is not a sanctuary city. Never mind that it has never claimed to be one. Never mind that there is not even a hint of some secret cable of city officials operating in an underground network. None of that appeared in his rollout, which leaned entirely on supposition and subtext. What he delivered was a performance, not policy, stage and community that has spent years integrating newcomers through steady, practical work. Information gathering does not require press conferences. Ominous hints or lumping victim service providers in with transnational criminal enterprises. Leaders who want genuine cooperation start with respect. Bullies start with threats. What Rokita hoped would look tough instead read as needles and mean-spirited. Political theater may earn headlines, but in a city where residents know these organizations, volunteer with them, and see their impact every day, this move was a bad look. Worse, it pulled focus from actually stopping the traffickers, not the people fighting to protect the victims.
Okay. I'm going to be reading some of the letters received by the Journal Gazette to the editor. I'll begin with the first. County's poor handling of special election inexcusable. The special election on November 4th was a disaster. With more than 36,000 registered voters, the Allen County Election Board used just 3 polling stations, 1 clerk, and 2 voting machines each. Immediately, we heard of long lines, down machines, and voters leaving due to hour-long waits and inaccessible conditions. Throughout the day, poll workers and machines kept arriving, but it was no match for the crush of people who simply wanted to have their voice heard. Ultimately, the day ended with more than 7,000 votes cast, the last voter finishing an hour and 15 minutes after the polls closed. In 2024, Allen County had the lowest voter turnout in the region. Wait times at early voting locations and election day polls were consistently 2 to 3 hours long. We wonder how many voters have been disenfranchised by the administration of our elections, where the philosophy seems to be do the least. Indeed, this election was more evidence that the right to vote in Allen County is not protected. Look simply to the fact that of the 700 voting machines available, only 14 were used. The referendum failed by 584 votes. Is it reasonable to think that 600 voters tried to vote but only had 30 minutes for lunch? Or that elderly voters saw the long lines and kept driving knowing they couldn't stand for that long? Maybe. We should never doubt the will of the people due to choices made by our leaders. This was entirely preventable and an inexcusable failure. And that's from Mary Kate Dole of Cheribusco. Decade in Summit City left positive impression. In 2014, we relocated from Lake County to Fort Wayne. Last month, we moved to Aurora, Illinois. I'll recount my impressions of Fort Wayne as well as render a few opinions. Fort Wayne is an inclusive city that promotes community with its many festivals, its preservation of its local history, its remembrance of its builders past and current, and most of all, its desire to improve. The Allen County Public Library is a treasure not only for its contents and services, but also for the staff and volunteers who are always helpful and pleasant. Joining Wildwood Racquet Club, I met a group of tennis players who became part of my exercise and social routine, and all of them were admirable individuals. I did volunteer work with the Literacy Alliance at Whispering Meadows Elementary School. The Literacy Alliance program was well organized and resulted in high school diploma equivalents on many occasions. Whispering Meadows was a delight. Some opinions I want to express are, practice more regard for safety and concerns for other drivers on US 69. Don't allow growth and jobs and bigness to eat away and eventually destroy your community spirit. Empty land doesn't mean something has to be built on it. My thanks to the Journal Gazette for printing my letters and being open to all opinions despite protests to being left-leaning. Fort Wayne is a great place to be a part of. Don't surrender the opportunity to be personally involved to the hubris of big business. And that's from Chester Barron, who's now of Aurora, Illinois. And then, immigrants make city great. I've been a citizen of Fort Wayne in Northeast Indiana for many decades. There's one particular development which has made me proud to be from Fort Wayne: the continued influx of immigrants from around the world. As part of a special program, I read children's books to children at a school on Fort Wayne's south side. Almost all of the kids in one of the classes are from various countries from around the world. They are bright and energetic and are learning English quickly. This interplay of cultures helps us and our kids become better citizens of our planet. Keep coming, immigrants. And that's from Tom Hayhurst of Fort Wayne.
Caring for heroes. Red Cross supports, reaches beyond the battlefield. From, written by Terry Stignan. The Indiana region of the American Red Cross celebrates all veterans and active duty service members. We're grateful to the brave men and women who have sacrificed for our country and for our freedoms. And we work to uplift service members, veterans, and military families, not just today, but every day. The Red Cross mission was born on the battlefield through Clara Burton's care for Civil War soldiers. Through our service to the Armed Force program, we provide a continuum of care from enlistment to navigating life as a veteran. Red Cross team members are often the first faces new service members see after they take their oath of enlistment. And we share information about our programs and resources so they know we're here to support them when they need support. The Red Cross is the only organization congressionally chartered to provide emergency communications between active duty military personnel and their families during personal emergencies. Our Hero Care Network operates 24/7 and allows families to connect during major life moments such as the birth of a child or the death of a family member. When days, hours, and minutes matter, the Red Cross helps to make a trusted connection. In the last year, the Red Cross supported more than 1.7 million active duty service members, veterans, and their families across the country and around the world. This incredible impact was made possible by our dedicated network of volunteers and our global presence on over 380 military installations and deployment sites worldwide. Beyond sharing emergency communication messages, we provide financial assistance, connect veterans and families to critical community services, and more. We are committed to supporting their whole health through free, confidential, and professionally led workshops such as psychological first aid, reconnection, and mind-body programs that provide tools to manage stress, strengthen communication, and navigate life's transitions. Through our military and veteran career caregiver network, those who care for our nation's injured and veterans, many of whom are veterans themselves, can find a support network, increase their sense of hope, and further develop their knowledge and skills. Here at home, more than 315,000 veterans are living in the Indiana region. Our service to the Armed Forces team meets veterans through Coffee Connect events, supports local veterans stand-down events, provides comfort kits to the homeless or at-risk veterans, and trains the SAF deployment team members who provide emergency communications and boost morale on military units overseas. With a heart for service, many military members and veterans continue their legacy by helping others through the Red Cross. In the Indiana region, 204 active service members and veterans give back to their communities as Red Crossers. They bring unique experience and skills, making our team stronger and our work in the community more impactful. As we recognize veterans, active duty military members, and their families this month, we are thankful for their services and sacrifices, dedication, and service to our country. Go to redcross.org/SAF to learn more about our service to the armed forces or to become a volunteer. Download the free HeroCare app in the App Store to access vital emergency and non-emergency resources for military members, veterans, and military families.
AI taught to save lives. Tools help spot sepsis risk for hospital patients. This is from Krister Watson. When hearing about new uses of AI, I think some people imagine the innovation is just asking ChatGPT a question. If that was truly happening, that should inspire a lot of fear. Thankfully, it's not what doctors and scientists mean when they announce new AI developments, say healthcare. I thought of this when I ran across two items by coincidence. The first was an article in the Journal Gazette last week about new ratings for local hospitals. Parkview Regional Medical Center, the largest area hospital, earned high grades generally, but was below average on sepsis infection after surgery. This item struck me then when I ran across a research article published last month in Nature Medicine about a new AI trained model to identify sepsis. This research was started at Stanford University by doctors and scientists frustrated by the current state of post-operative sepsis. They have since started their own company to develop their work into something useful for hospitals. A bit of background on sepsis: it's an infection of the body by either bacteria or a virus that leads to an overly aggressive immune response and results in organ problems. It can develop quickly to become life-threatening. About 350,000 people die annually in the U.S. from sepsis. Medicare spends a significant amount on sepsis-related treatments. Beyond the quick timeline, sepsis can be difficult to diagnose because it can begin as an infection in a single organ. As a result, a blood test directly looking for the presence of bacteria or virus won't work in the early stages for many cases. These scientists decided instead to look for the body's immune response to the bacterial or viral infection in the blood. More precisely, they analyzed the blood for 29 types of mRNA. The mRNA were chosen based on previous research indicating they were promising for predicting sepsis. The next step in their research is where the AI was introduced. Instead of trying to come up with their own idea for how to combine the 29 mRNA detection levels into a prediction about sepsis, they used common AI methods to combine the 29 measurements into a sepsis prediction. That is, they plugged their mRNA measurements and sepsis results into an AI model and had the AI teach itself how to combine the measurements. Their method was a bit involved because they wanted it to work on several blood testing machines. Such differences have apparently turned out to be a major obstacle in using new AI methods across different hospitals. After developing their AI system, they tested it in 22 emergency rooms across the U.S. In total, about 1,200 patients were involved. This was all done with the goal of developing a custom blood test machine that uses the AI method and could be sold directly to hospitals. The results were promising. There are many ways of measuring accuracy, depending on the version. This method scored in the 92 to 95% range. It also did better than the current common methods. This research is what AI can mean for us. AI can be part of a better method for figuring out who will develop sepsis in emergency rooms. AI can do this because it can combine measurements in creative ways that humans have trouble doing. And we have evidence that we need to do a better job of that in the largest hospital in Fort Wayne. And now, Shelley will read primetime TV listings for November 19th, 2025.
Channel 15, Wayne, CBS. 8 p.m., Survivor. 9:30, The Amazing Race. On 15.2, Wayne 2. 8 o'clock, Blue Bloods. 9 o'clock, Blue Bloods, Rush to Judgment. And at 10 o'clock, Blue Bloods, The Bullet Mustang. 15.3, Wayne 3. 8 o'clock, Last Man. 8:30, Last Man. 9 o'clock, That 70s Show. 9:30, That 70s Show. 10 and 10:30. That 70s Show. 21, WPTA or ABC, the 59th annual CMA Awards are live. 21.2, WPTA 2, Wicked is playing from 8 o'clock through 10:30. 39, WFWA, PBS, The American Revolution at 8 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, again, the American Revolution. 55, WFFT, Fox, 8 o'clock, The Floor, 9 o'clock, 99 to Beat, and 10 o'clock, Fox 55 News.
Okay, we're going to read a few local sport highlights next, but if you love sports, tune in Mondays at 1:30 and 10:30 p.m. and Tuesday at 6 a.m. for Spotlight on Sports with stories from Sports Illustrated magazine. Or tune in every Sunday afternoon at 4:30 p.m. and Monday mornings at 6 a.m. and listen to a full hour of the past week's local, regional, and national sports stories during Sports in Review. And now Shelley will start with the first local sports highlight.
Petruzzielli hustled his way to the 400th game with the Comets. Forward reach milestone during homeowner opener on Friday. The article from James Krause from the Journal Gazette. With injuries throughout the lineup, the Comets on April 1st, 2018, signed a 24-year-old left-handed rookie forward from the University of Vermont to finish out the season. 8 seasons, 1 championship, and 399 regular season games later, Anthony Petruzzielli is still in Fort Wayne. Not just as a veteran player, but someone who continues to be a pillar for the franchise and local hockey community. Petruzzielli's next game, coming when the Comets hold their home opener on Friday, will be his 400th in the regular season with the Comets. Only one other player, Sean Skizdlowski, has more appearances since the franchise joined the ECHL in 2012. Playing 400 games in anywhere in one spot, especially in this league, it's tough to do, Petruzzielli said. It's taken a long time to get here, and I think it's truly special to get some family in the building. On top, perhaps the most highly anticipated Comets home opener in history, the latest they've started in a non-COVID season in franchise history, and his own career accomplishment of 400 games with the team, there's another reason the Comets game against the Bloomington Bison on Friday is so important to Petruzzielli. I get to have my daughter here for her first game, Petruzzielli said. I'm really excited about it. Ultimately, it's not just me that's gotten to this point. I have a lot of support from my wife and family and everything I like that. I'm really excited. Can't wait to get this going this weekend.
Norwell's defense, the difference in first victory over Homestead since 2012. This is from Victoria Jacobson of the Journal Gazette, Dateline Ossian. The new kids in Class 4A have taken down the top team in Class 4A. Number 9 Norwell's aggressive defense held number 1 Homestead to just 10 points in the fourth quarter at the Castle on Tuesday as the Knights beat the Spartans 59-46. It is Norwell's first win over Homestead since 2012. It feels so good. I mean, this is our goal for this season, to knock out Homestead, said Norwell senior guard Addison Norris, referring to the fact that the Knights were promoted to Homestead's Class 4A sectional after winning the Class 3A state title last year. I think it was just being aggressive. Coach Thornton always told us we need to have a chip on our back and we need to go out and play the hardest we've ever played. So we executed that. Thornton acknowledged that Homestead will be an even tougher team to beat by the time sectionals roll around in February, but Tuesday's win remains a sign that the Knights belong with the very best teams in 4A. It's a reminder to our team that if they play together and they play with toughness, that they can compete with anybody, Thornton said. We're fortunate to be close to teams like Homestead, where we can get great competition that makes us better, makes them better. But I think when you win a game like that, it can take your team to another level. We'll have to continue to get better at some things, but you can get a good test like that in an early in the season. It's no lose as long as your kids compete.
2 from area finalists for Miss Volleyball. From Staff News Services, Carroll's Bailey Sinish and Angola's Maya Harris are two of the five finalists for the Indiana Miss Volleyball Award. The winner will be announced Sunday after Class 3A, 4A Senior All-Star Game at Lawrence North. Sinish has led the Chargers to back-to-back Class 4A state titles and was named the Mental Attitude Award winner after the state championship win this season. Sinish, an outside hitter who is committed to IU Indianapolis, finished her career with 1,808 kills, 175 blocks, 167 aces, and 854 digs. Harris, an outside hitter, signed with Illinois and was second in the state with 637 kills, a year after leading the state in that category and reaching the Class 3A state finals with her Hornets. She had the most aces in the state this season with 177. The other finalists are Maddie Miles of Hamilton Southeastern, Elle Shara of Crown Point, and Lydia Stowley of Roncalli. Purdue Fort Wayne women signed two more. Purdue Fort Wayne women's basketball team announced the signing of Maddie Lepley, 5'11", Canton, Ohio, and Karis Thomas, 5'6", Washington, Pennsylvania. A day after announcing that Concordia's Olivia Bollinger was going to the program, Bollinger, who averaged 17.6 points and 5.6 rebounds last season, follows in the footsteps of her mother, Nicole, who played for the Macedons in 2002 and 2003.
This concludes the reading of the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. The Journal-Gazette is broadcast every weekday at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. We're unaware of any birthdays today, but if today is your birthday, we wish you have a very happy day. Your readers today have been Mitch with
Shelley.
We invite you to stay tuned for the next program.
You've been listening to Volunteers Read the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette, which is broadcast every weekday at 9 a.m. and rebroadcast at 6 p.m. and 3 a.m. Check out our podcast of the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette and obituaries on our podcast page at audioreadingservicepodcast.com. Thank you for listening, and if you have any questions, please give us a call at 260-421-1376.